Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting, and we're very excited. Of course, we are building up to the return of the Premier League. And right now, as always, we are supremely lucky to be joined on the line by the head of communications for Watford Football Club, Richard Walker. Morning, Richard. How are you?
Yeah, good, Tony. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well indeed, of course. Excited for the return of the Premier League, although it's going to be weird. These empty stadiums are going to be very weird. We'll build on that and touch upon it in a minute. But first of all, good result against Brentford. Again, in this new norm scenario, empty stadiums basically. A great result. Sounds to me that Hornets versus the Bees, and Kapu'e provided the sting. What a belter.
Yeah, Captain Kapu'e for the day. As Troy was second half substitute that came on, and 25 yards. And I think what they'll be most pleased to take away from that was a really good shape about the side. Mm-hmm. The team looked well drilled. They look fit. They're not match sharp. I think every team's going to come in next week with an element of sharpness missing. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be a lot about who shows the most buoyancy, who's got that enthusiasm, who's got that real hunger and drive to win. And I thought Watford nullified what Brentford want you to do, which is get yourselves out of shape on the attack and get hit on the counter. So good side, Brentford. A lot of good individual technicians. No surprise that they're near the top of the Championship. So I think Watford and the management team can be happy with how it went overall, definitely.
Absolutely. I think a very positive result. Obviously, it's difficult to read too much into it. But again, Brentford, as you say, high-flying in the Championship, in fourth at the present moment. And also, they got a rather good result against another Premiership outfit in Arsenal earlier in the week. So it gives you a flavour of an acid test there. Again, in context, top work, great result.
Yeah, I think they're very fit, Brentford, because they play a particular style, very open, expansive style. They take risks at the back with their passing, but it means they open the pitch right up and they're looking for you to just get a little bit out of shape so they can switch the ball right to left and then isolate fullbacks and have wingers run in one-on-one and create danger. They've got some very good technicians. They've got an excellent setup at the club, an owner who's not been stupid with his ambition. Mm-hmm. They're moving to a new ground next year. I think it's about 17, 18, 20,000 capacity. They're hoping to do that in the Premier League. And the way they recruit players, they've been tagged with the Moneyball tag, which is a little unfair. It's probably a little more considered than that, but it certainly worked for them. And they're a really attractive side to watch. So there was plenty of positives for Watford to take out of it from playing against them yesterday.
Yeah, we were lucky. We speak quite regularly to their chairman, Radlett's own, Craig. Goodness me, name escapes me this morning, but he's a real good guy. Going to get him back on pretty soon. Anyway, Cliff Crown, coming back though to that game, one thing I was interested to learn about, maybe you can fill us in here, Pearson missing because of illness at this time for that game. Are we anticipating Pearson to be in the dugout for the Leicester fixture?
Yes.
That's good. That's good to learn.
Yeah, he'll be back this week. Yeah, there's no problem. It's not coronavirus related, so he'll be back firing on all cylinders, no problem there.
And just final point before we build to the coming fixture with Foxes coming to town, high flying as they are up in third at the moment in the Premier League. Final point on the Brentford fixture. I think you had a rather instrumental role to play in this fixture. Tell us more.
Well, fortunately, I didn't. I didn't have an instrumental role, though I could have done, as I had to referee, yeah, because the Premier League were not allowing the PGMO that managed the match officials. They weren't allowing any match officials to go out and officiate games. Now, I've only got a basic level 7 entry-level qualification as a ref, so I'll occasionally do a game in the St Albans Sunday League, for example, but the officials therefore had to come from within the team bubble, the 60 players and staff that are getting tested regularly. So having whittled away at all other options, I think the management team decided that none of them particularly wanted to forgo their usual match day duty. So I got asked on Thursday if I'd do it. So it was something you can't turn down, refereeing the team you work for at Vicarage Road. It's going to be an absolute one-off, and thoroughly enjoyed it and had a very early night last night. I was absolutely shattered.
As you say, it was quite a warm day as well, wasn't it, to be fair?
It was, yeah. I didn't put one of those watches on. I should have done. I haven't got one, but I should have borrowed one to see. But I reckon 5, 6, 7 miles covered, I think. I think if you walked for 90 minutes, you do 5 miles. So I think probably 6 or 7 miles I covered, and it felt like it at the end of the game. But fortunately, the players were really good because they didn't go in for any silly 50-50s. They were quite respectful like that. Good tackles that you would expect to be made next week with full force and give some really awkward decisions. So Watford were one ahead, for those who were not aware, and scored a second in injury time. And I was dreading the last 5 minutes, having got so far through the game without incident, to maybe have to give a penalty or something late on. At that point, I just wanted to get out of the scenario. So I was willing the time away at the end of the game. But it was very well received by people afterwards. So they were appreciative of someone doing it who, you know, had a vague idea of the game and let it flow as much as possible. So, yeah, it's something to look back on with a bit of pride down the line.
Absolutely. One for the memory bank. It's fantastic. Yeah. Interesting there, as we mentioned, Pearson's certainly going to be back for the Foxes encounter, his old club, of course. I just love the relationship he's got with Craig Shakespeare, though. Reminds me a little bit of Clough and Taylor back in those days. He made some great points about taking this opportunity, that Brentford fixture, really to introduce the players to the experience of this new norm and the coming in two separate coaches, the dressing room, which I think has now been dubbed the Red Zone, almost quite dark sound, quite macabre sound to that there. So how do the players overall find this new normal footballing experience?
Well, I think, as Craig said afterwards, that if you tell players what they got to do, they'll do it. If you give any room for manoeuvre, you could do this or you could do that, immediately you'll have a situation where no one particularly knows what to do for the best. So it's absolutely nailed down as to what is a red zone on a match day. Then you have an amber zone. So essentially the red zone is wherever the players go in, the tunnel area, the dressing rooms, and the pitch side of the LED board. So anything pitch, tunnel, dugouts, that's red zone. And there's only a certain number of people who can go in there. They all have to be tested and be able to prove that they've been tested on entry. Everywhere else inside the stadium is amber zone. So media and the few others, club staff and essential workers that would be in the stadium in amber zone. And there's no crossing between the zones. So if you're in amber, that's where you are for the day. You can't suddenly go into the red zone.
Gotcha.
Because for obvious reasons, people in amber won't have been tested. So trying to keep it as, I think the word of the moment, sterile as possible, but they're trying to make sure that red zone access is restricted to people who've had a test within a few days of the fixture. So that's their way of kind of reassuring players in that area that they're doing the absolute best they can.
Excellent stuff. Brilliantly explained. I appreciate that, Richard. We're going to build, of course, we are, to the return on June the 20th, just 6 days away now, against the Foxes, Pearson's old team, as we've said. But just quickly, I want to just take us back in time to that momentous last home fixture where Watford shocked the world. In the whole history, not just of the Premier League, which is in some people's memory banks when football began, but in all of top flight history, going back to 1888, no team had a bigger points discrepancy at the start of the day that got a victory. 55 points, Watford were behind Liverpool at the start of that day, back in February. What a result. I mean, it's got to be one of those memories that's going to stick there. I bet even now, fans still come up to you and talk to you about this amazing occasion. Just briefly, your recollections of it.
They do, yeah. Well, Well, you're on about recollecting. You're right to say that, because by the time we kick off next Saturday, it had been nearly 3 months ago, which sounds absolutely preposterous. But we're trying to relate a 9 games coming up to a moment in time when really the world went mad, didn't it, for an evening? It really did. It was quite surreal, that game. I just got a sense from the start of the match that something was strange was going to happen, and Liverpool just didn't offer a threat all evening, to the point where you wondered perhaps if they were, because I think they'd shown signs of just scrambling wins in the previous weeks. Were they gradually running out of that huge momentum and that sort of juggernaut style approach to matches, that rock and roll football? Was that just starting to fade a little bit? Well, I don't think anyone could have foreseen it turning on its head quite as it did. But even, I recall distinctly, even tuning up with, I think it might have been 8 or 10 minutes to go, that I felt the game really wasn't put to bed, and that Liverpool, if Liverpool had scored then, they'd have had they'd have had the lion's share of possession and created chances. But it was a fantastic night, and it saddens me to think that we aren't going to get anything like that over the next 5 home matches, because there's going to be no one there to witness it. So it does sadden me. But it wasn't the last game we played, of course, because that was away at Crystal Palace the week after, which was a classic after the Lord Mayor's show of 1-0 defeat, having won 3-0 against the previously unbeaten champions-elect. So that's how football can kick you, because really we should have gone to Palace, cock a hoop and secured what essentially was the last pre-COVID victory. But the fact we didn't means that we are perilously close to the bottom three and needing to muster all of our concentration to get the job done over these next 9 matches.
Brilliantly explained. I think that's the most critical thing now, and I'm sure all the players are laser focused on the mission in hand. Always I like to look at form ahead of the fixtures, but as we know, this is so surreal. 3 months without the fixture is almost reboot. I don't know what relevancy there is in it. I mean, Leicester
factor in this absence.
Well, this is it. Aston Villa were beaten by Leicester in the last pre-COVID-19 game, as you say. Watford lose to Crystal Palace, but so long ago now, 3 months, as you say, it just almost becomes borderline irrelevant in that regard. What I would say, and I'm sure this is something that you're aware of and the players are focused in on, under Pearson, granted now there's going to be no fans, but Vicarage Road has been a fortress. I think only one loss in the last 7 at Vicarage Road. Again, with those 5 home fixtures remaining, granted no fans, that's certainly something I'm sure the players and Pearson and Shakespeare are very, very keen to build upon.
Yeah. It's been a good run, but like you say, I'm struggling to relate any kind of form to what might happen next. This for me is, we touched on it earlier, this for me is about which team is able to emerge from a period of dormancy, let's call it, and come out of the blocks fast. I genuinely, Tony, people will have heard it described as a pre-season and the start of the season. That is what it is. That is what it is. The weather's been roasting while they've been training. They've been lamenting the fact of there's no showers in May. Instead, it's been July hot for not necessarily last week, but certainly the 2 before that, when they were putting in the hard yards in terms of the fitness work. So it has felt very much like a pre-season, and it's exactly what it is. I don't think anyone can claim, well, just because we were doing well before we stopped, that we're going to do well again. This is a totally different matter, and that's why I'm really struggling to relate these 9 games to the previous 29. But we're going to do it, and it's going to happen.
Here we go, just 6 days away now. I think I was saying again, agreeing with everything you said there about this imponderable, this almost quasi pre-season feel to the returning Premier League. I think Leicester, therefore, is actually quite a good fixture first up, because again, they are high flying, coming to the game on 53 points. But all of that's just taken out. So there's just so many imponderables. And I think that's, again, not a bad time to be playing a team with sort of a Vardy renaissance and all Brendan Rodgers pressing style, you know, coming in as the first one back.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be interesting. Will they go for that approach, or will they actually attempt a slower pace tempo, which would allow technicians to have greater impact on the game? Because the harem scarum approach that some teams favour, particularly lower down the league, to try and press, press, press and put pressure on, that sometimes is a means to cover up technical deficiencies. Mm-hmm. Certainly from yesterday, the slower the tempo, the more time on the ball those with the greatest skill seem to spend. So without that urge, without those crowd urgings, which have been seen in Germany to have some kind of tangible difference to physical achievement, it's quite interesting as to what tempo each of the sides will approach the game with. I'll be really fascinated to see that on these two games in hand matches in the week before next weekend. We've got Arsenal, Man City, haven't we, and Aston Villa versus Sheffield United. So I hate to say it, but we could be starting our matches in the bottom three if Aston Villa win. So we've got to get a head around that as well.
Mm-hmm. It's all to play for. It's all very exciting. So many X factors. What I would say, though, is Leicester historically don't travel very well to Vicarage Road. They've lost their last three, or without a win in the last three attempts there. I'm feeling quite confident for Watford. I think brilliant effort against Brentford, as we've discussed. Another clean sheet. And under Pearson and Shakespeare, defensively, the difference is almost worlds apart. I think statistically, in that run in the era of Pearson Shakespeare, Watford have the sixth best defence in the Premier League. So building on that strong foundation at the back, coming in with confidence, I think Watford are going to get a 2-1 victory to kick things off.
Well, that's what I had in mind, but I can't agree with you because it's not a good look. So I'm going to go 1-0.
Absolutely. Again, it would be powerful to see, and time will tell, but we're both very optimistic. A couple of few things just finally before I let you go.
Sure.
Really interested to learn a little bit more about the fan wall. I think you're looking for 16 to 24 Watford fans, Hornets fans all across the globe. Fill us in.
Yeah, we're looking for them to give us a visual representation within the stadium to be brought up on the big screens. And we've also got other plans for extra visual enhancements within the ground. It's very, very difficult to replicate a match day without supporters. And for some, I very much respect that anything other than being in the ground is just going to be it's just going to be pointless. So we need to respect that fact. But if we can get people, visuals of people inside the stadium, and they got a chance to log on to WatfordFC.com and get involved with us. It's very, very simple, and we'll be using different supporters at each of the different home fixtures. So just a little bit of fun. I know I really do feel for, you know, I've got friends who are going to, they said they're going to struggle to even watch the matches because they can't be at the games. Mm. And I totally respect that. Totally. I really do get that. I'm in a fortunate position of being able to be at the match because I'm an employer. Yes, I happen mm-hmm. to be a Watford supporter as well. That's my dad took me along when I was young. So that was me ingrained. But, you know, for people who are Watford fans who aren't going to be able to go, I mean, by way of example, there's a supporter I know that hasn't missed a home game since 1971. Haven't missed a home or away match, excuse me. Hasn't missed a game since the early 70s. How's he going to feel this Saturday? I'm more interested in how supporters feel than necessarily how it's going to be for us on the inside of it. So any way we can make people feel a little bit closer connected to the match, that's what we're going to try and do.
Just always appreciate that wonderful kind of connection that you guys at Watford have with your fans. And again,
we do. We cherish it. We cherish it. It is the fabric of the club, Tony. That's what makes us the original family club, the community club. We cherish that connection with them. We respect the supporters, and this club is nothing without its supporters. And that we're going to try and make it something so that they've got a healthy and vibrant club to come back to whenever that's possible.
And what's great is that it goes both ways, Richard. The massive appreciation for that from the fan side comes through to the 4-2. And on that very point, just a final word and your take on this. I believe that last season's 2018-2019 kit, your first striped one since the 20s, was voted by the fans. Best home kit of all time. So a bit of fun there, a bit of fan engagement. Your thoughts on that decision?
Yeah, hard to argue, really. I think because it contains so many good memories. My personal favourite from a design point of view was the 12-13 kit with Gianfranco Zola as manager, with Football Manager across the middle and a sort of little Puma patch at the top. But that would, but just from a look point of view, but I can totally understand why the stripes. We were really in the office, we were really unsure how the stripes would go down. But because of the nature of the season that took place with the stripes, I think that's gave it a huge popularity, reaching a cup final. It probably had an unfair advantage, that kit, but it ran that advantage home, so fair play.
Absolutely. Again, a bit of fun there. And I just love that little bit of fan interaction, again, reflecting this wonderful relationship with the fans, both ways, massive mutual respect. It is important. The beautiful game returns. The Premier League is back. It is a dogfight at the bottom, but feeling very strong that you're going to ride positivity to maintain your Premier League status. Today, Richard, and as always, massively grateful for your time. As always, both from myself personally, the whole Verum Sport podcasting team, our best wishes to all at Watford and, of course, the players. I look forward to catching up with you very soon.
Thanks, Tony.